Football on Off the Ball.
Every player's journey looks different and there's different ways of going about it. So we have to make sure that we kind of help create the right journey for the right player.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The news round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
Good evening and welcome along to Thursday night's Off the Ball. We're with you till 10 o'clock as ever this evening. We've got Colm Cooper coming up from 7:30. He's going to look ahead to the All-Ireland football semi-finals this weekend. From 8 o'clock, we're going to be checking in with Colm O'Rourke and the Meath under-20s manager, Cathal O'Brick. So they're going to be telling us what it's like in the Royal County at the moment and if this summer is the beginning of another golden age in the county. After 9 o'clock, then we're going to be joined by Arthur and Ger and Will for a Thursday night crappy quiz. Our number is 0879 180 180 if you want to drop us a WhatsApp. Cameron Hill is here for the news round. Evening, Cameron.
A very good evening, Owen.
And if you didn't have enough Meath GA representation on the show this evening, Richie McCormack, how are things?
How are you, Owen? You all right?
You buzzing for Sunday?
Yes and no. I'm realistic about what's potentially coming, because Donegal are a very good side, but also just never thought that Meath would be here in a semi-final in 2025. So relishing that opportunity, it's a wonderful thing.
They're very excited. Did you know that they're writing songs above Meath?
I know where this is going.
Do you know where this is going?
I know where this is going.
Do you know exactly where this is going?
I know exactly where this is going. Unfortunately, yes.
Sabalenka was broken 3 times today, and that's not as broken as you are right now, having realised.
Yeah, having realised where indeed this is going.
Well, I mean, do you want to do the throw to the audio for me, Richie? Do you want to grab those headphones before we go anywhere?
Because I haven't heard it.
You haven't heard it.
I've only heard of it. I heard our colleague Stephen Doyle was quoted as saying in the office today, if Meath go on to win the All-Ireland, it will be tainted by this.
No, Richie. He is a true blue dub. Everything that Meath do annoys him. So as a man, A, who has strong connections to Meath, and B, as a purveyor of fine culture, you will enjoy this.
I saw just a still from the video and somebody mentioning it, and I was already like, no, I'm not clicking that. So I know what's coming. I know potentially how bad it is.
Confirmation
is it's just going to follow in the next couple of seconds.
It's high art. I would be astonished if Tom Dunn doesn't kick off his show tonight with this. This is, it appeared on the We Are Meath Facebook page, and it's called Hot for Meath.
Oh, God.
Come on, sing it with me, sing it with me. M-A-T-T, Costello, Jordan Morris, scoring goals. You can hit me on the wing, don't throw it still again. M-A-T-T, Costello.
Well, Richie, out of 10.
See, I figure this is some kind of sabotage. This is some kind of Trojan horse.
Richie is bopping in here, radio listener. He has been popping around
for the
last...
People watch on YouTube. They know what you're lying.
Yeah. You're bopping on the inside.
This has been rolled in from Dublin, from outside of the county walls, in an effort to undermine all the good that has been done by the Meath footballers throughout the course of this summer so far.
No idea what you're talking about.
It's 100% the Trojan horse. We have developed an accent problem west of kind of Clonay, because obviously we've seen the urban sprawl and people heading from Dublin to Meath and indeed beyond in an effort to buy houses. And that has somewhat unsettled the native accent, which is fond of an elongated vowel. And I fear that that has died a death within the confines of that particular song and its interpolation of Chapel Roan, or as you would be called in Navan, Chapel Roan.
As she should be pronounced, I would suggest. I'm looking forward to, you know, her hearing about this, her getting on board the Meath bandwagon for the final, and this being a summer where Richie McCormack and We Are Meath as a Facebook page.
Can you imagine a situation whereby they get that little stage out, as they tend to do whenever a band is performing on an All-Ireland final day, whether it's, you know, Emmett Spiceland back in the 60s or, you know, up to like the likes of The Walls and Ham Sandwich in the current day. You could have Chapel Roan out on stage in Croke Park, trying to get a really unenthused crowd of people from Meath and Kerry to join in her version of Matty Costello.
The camera will pan to myself and Richie McCormack arm in arm in the Hogan stand popping away. Yeah. And we'll be having a great moment.
While Marty Morrissey reads through a three fool's cap page prepared statement about the performance that's currently ongoing.
Do Kerry not produce yearly songs? Is that not a thing down there?
No, they do, to be fair. They do. But it's kind of more... versions of contemporary songs. I remember the 2014.
What that isn't.
that's what I mean. It's exactly the same as that. I'm trying to think of any original work. Do Meath have any original work for this year yet?
I don't think so. Okay. You don't get ahead of yourself. You don't write a song for a semi final. I think that's. There is clue number one that this is a Trojan horse from Dublin. Is that this has been done for a semi final? You don't do it. Songs are written for finals traditionally. Be it Gaelic sports, be it soccer or anything else. You don't go all out for a semi-final.
Let me ask you one last question.
Go on.
Matthew Costello gets the ball on Sunday.
Oh, don't go.
Turns Brendan McCall, arrows it into the bottom of Sean Patton's net. What's the first thing you're going to hear in your head?
Do you know what? If the Pro Park announcer goes with that in full time, having, you know, fended off Donegal by 2-3 points, it will be... horrible. It would take the air out of things completely, and I would back them to forfeit their place in the final based on that blaring out of the speakers, as tinny and awful as they are, Crow Park at the best of times.
Right then, Richie, thank you for indulging.
I'll be off.
Yeah, you'll be off. Yeah. The news round is yet to get up and running. It's here with UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. Other than that, being on one screen today, we were dual screening in a genuine sports sense today.
No, we weren't. Can we just say, no, we weren't. Because we only have the one telly out there.
But I mean, so laptop.
We're literally like old schooling and flicking between two channels. Going, yeah. I don't know which one to watch first is going to end. What is going to happen? It was a very summer experience.
It was.
Flicking between the Tour de France and Wimbledon.
It is. And because, of course, you know, Tour de France and TG Car, that was on the laptop, which does not mean it's your second story, Cameron. You are kicking things off tonight with the cycling.
Oh, absolutely, Owen. Ireland's Ben Healy winning stage 6 of the Tour de France this afternoon. The 24-year-old covered the 201.5 kilometres between Bayeux and Vire Normandy in a time of 4 hours 24 minutes and 10 seconds. He's the 7th Irish cyclist to win a stage on the Tour, having only made his debut in last year's edition.
Yeah, I think last year was a real eye-opener and really made me believe that I could do it, and just knuckled down and did the hard work and tried to refine my racing style as well, you know, just lots of race footage watched, and really paid off today, I think.
Today, how did it pay? Did it play out? It's been a crazy start, crazy pace from start to finish, and you fought and fought to get to be in that breakaway. Talk to us about it.
Yeah, I just switched on from the start, you know, and I spent a bit too much trying to get into the break, but I think that's just the way I do it. And once we was in there, we really had to work for that gap, and it was just on the pedals all day. And I knew I needed to get away from the group and picked my moment, and I think I timed it well and hopefully caught them by surprise a little bit. And then I knew what I had to do, just head down and do my best ride to the finish.
Ben Healy was written off today. I'll tell you who was written off by the Guardian live blog.
Oh,
who
really?
Said he couldn't possibly do this. He went on a 42-kilometre solo breakaway, which is absolutely extraordinary, especially for a man who's never won a stage at the Tour de France. And certainly the live blog was like, I might have got this wrong. I didn't quite expect him to hang on all the way to the end.
In fairness, I think I wrote him off at one point as well while you were stood next to me in the office, because it was 17K to go. And he was at that stage a minute and 20 up on the group that were just behind him. Van der Poel's group then, I think, was just after that. And then you had the yellow jersey group. But I was fully expecting him to be reeled in. And as it went on, he was opening up the gap towards the end. It was quite incredible watching to see him vault as he has done into the top 10 now in GC, Cam.
Yeah, he's 8th in GC now.
Eddie Dunbar's up there as well now after a brilliant day for himself as well. It's one of those standout days for Irish riders. Like, they went through, we had the commentary of the final few 100 metres saved later on. I think Cam would have used it at some stage, but they went through the list of stage winners that Ireland has had throughout the course of the Tour de France, and it's a very select bunch, and they're all incredible riders in their own right. And now Ben Healy has written himself into that history. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it is. And the last one to do it was Sam Bennett in 2020, the last one to win a stage, and he obviously went on to claim the green jersey at the end of that year's tour. Killian Kelly as well, an Irish peloton would have been watching the full stage today, and with a brilliant observation that Eddie Dunbar and Ben Healy went over first and second over the top of the Côte de Mortain, which is one of the categorised climbs. Mm. And it's the first time two Irish riders have led over a Tour de France climb since Kelly and Roach did it on the Col d'Aubisque in 1985. So it was a brilliant day for Dunbar and Healy, a brilliant stage for Dunbar and Healy. Healy getting the plaudits, obviously. And phenomenal to see what he can do, because he's in contention for the white jersey as well now.
He is, like, he has form. I think he was third on Liège-Bastogne-Liège coming into this, so it's not as if he's come in cold to the Tour. He's, you know, done well in one of the classics. He now has a chance to really build upon. Like, that's the thing. I think in the first week, you really want to give yourself a footing on GC, and I think he's been there or thereabouts. Dunbar's been there or thereabouts before in terms of top 25s, and they've drifted away. Now they have something to build upon at stage six and going into stage seven tomorrow. Fingers crossed that they're able to do that. Update on the Mead song, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I got sent during the Ben Healy clip, I got sent a voice note from my cousin Alan, who's from Kildallky, which is just outside Trim. And he was saying that the person behind that song is from Kilmainham Wood, which is in North Mead. It's as you're heading towards Cavan.
Oh, no way. So it's two counties, Dublin and Cavan, going at Meath here.
Dublin, like, essentially, like, that accent has travelled far into North Meath, out towards the Cavan border, and has brought back, almost regurgitated, you could say, that song back at us.
But I'm thinking, is it actually a Cavan Trojan horse?
It could be. It could be. In terms of proximity, Monaghan are in contention there as well, in around that part of the world. But certainly, I fear that there's something of a Trojan horse thing going on here as well. Plus, right, that song has already been reinterpreted by that bloke from, is it from Cork, who did the Liverpool songs? And he did one for Cody Gakpo.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he says it, Cody G-A-K-P-O. He's our Dutchman scoring goals. And that's why I'm not a singer.
Pretty good, isn't it?
So that's, you know, that's up there. So at least, you know, it's not even original. Again, adding to the case that this is a Trojan horse sent to undermine the Meath cause.
I like you tracking the Dublin accent being spread. Like, is it Apollo 13 where they have the map of the Soviet Union's slowly conquering the world because they're leading the space race?
Yeah, and that's what's happened. If you go out beyond the pale, the accent has it's a domineering force, jackbooting its way west across the country, and there doesn't seem to be any end in sight.
I mean, I'm here for it.
Are you? Would you like to see the Kerry accent disappear?
No, sorry, for the song.
Trampled underfoot by Dublin.
I'm still focusing on the art here.
Right.
I have not considered the social consequences whatsoever.
I'm all about the social consequences here.
I'm just talking about the art. I'm all here for the art.
There's people in Longford who are talking with accents thicker than those in Talla, and that's not right on. Right?
Maybe it is.
In Kilmainham Wood who sound like they're from Kilmainham. It's not right.
SKG is messaging to say this Mead song actually has me wanting them to win.
He's out there listening to it non-stop.
Yeah.
He's on the other side of the glass and just replying. He's not even listening to us now. And then he's just listening to the song.
A question asking if the crappy quiz is on at 9 p.m. tonight. Yes is the answer to that question.
Post-watershed.
Post-watershed, for sure.
On this morning's Off the Ball breakfast,
we had this.
We used to say to Alan Cawley, Alan Cawley wouldn't head a ball. Couldn't head a ball. Like, you know, turtleneck. He was afraid of it. So when a ball was kicked out, I would say to Alan, oh God, you have to win this, Al. You have to win it. And he'd win the header, and I'd be like, oh, what a header. And he would go around 6 foot tall. Like, so sometimes you use reverse psychology on the players that you're playing with. You know, make them feel better than how do you feel themselves, and it gives an extra 10% when they're playing for you.
And we also had this.
My wee man's at the stage now where he's delving into YouTube and seeing old games of Donegal and saying, what are you doing there, Danny? And, you know, why are you talking to him? What are you saying to him? And I'm just saying that we're talking about the weather now.
Catch up now elsewhere on the Go Loud app and every weekday morning when Off the Ball Breakfast is live from 7:30 on your OTB social channels.
We're moving on to golf because more good Irish sports news. Cameron.
OTB after dark.
Yeah, great news from an Irish perspective in the golf today. Leona Maguire, top of the leaderboard at the fourth Women's Major Championship of the year, the Evian Championship in France. The Cavan golfer got her first ever LPGA hole-in-one today as she carded an opening round 65. She's in the clubhouse in a four-way tie for the lead on 6 under par, while Rory McIlroy, 4 shots off the lead following his opening round at the Scottish Open. The reigning Masters champion carded 68 today to sit on 2 under par, Four players shared the lead on 6 under par in that one as well, while Padraig Harrington carded an opening round 69 to sit on 1 under.
Yeah, we'll be keeping a close eye on Leona now over the course of the weekend. That would be absolutely huge if she managed to contend all the way through the weekend. It has been an up and down season for her, but she's found form in the last 3-4 weeks really. So big weekend hopefully for the Cavan woman. Now, soccer, we have St. Patrick's Athletic.
Yeah, they begin their Conference League qualifying campaign tonight. FC Hegelmann of Lithuania go to Richmond Park for the first leg of their first round clash. The Saints haven't won since the end of May and haven't scored a goal in their last 3 games in the Premier Division. But manager Stephen Kenny told our own Scarlett Heron that it'll take just one to get them back in form.
There are never any guarantees, but you do feel that. Mm. You know, you do feel that once you get one, like, that it'll really open up. You do feel that.
Yeah, and it's the mentality going into this game, knowing what you have to do. Is the team confident in the preparation that's been done?
Yeah, I feel so. You know, we know we've got a tougher opposition than people would realise. People think, you know, you should turn over the Italian opposition, but it's not like that. It's a very, very strong side, and we have to we'll have to earn the right to do that. We'll have to play really well to do that over 2 legs, and but we are definitely capable of that. We must back ourselves to do that.
Derry City, meanwhile, have confirmed today that striker Pat Hooban has left the club for NIFL side Glentoran. The 33-year-old is heading to the Oval on a 2-year deal. Hooban was the Candy Stripes' top goal scorer last season with 15 goals, but only managed 8 appearances this year, partly due to injury.
Do you know where we are as a footballing nation now? Mm-hmm. They're in this Pat Hooban contract up at Glentoran. There was talk of performance-related bonuses being inserted into it. So we've now gone beyond players just going at the end of contracts to players leaving mid-contract for fees that have player-related bonuses involved.
That's great.
We're big time now, boy.
Big time.
We're big time now.
Didn't Derry City turn down someone this year coming from Scotland?
They did.
No, yeah. We don't want that.
It's grand.
Suddenly, yeah. The bell of the ball.
Also, I've had an update on the song from our colleague Stephen Daunt out there on the floor.
Okay.
Who says it's obviously a Mayo plot. M-A-Y-O go Mayo is what he's gone with as the tracking of the song. And hello to Reese as well. He's also listening in. I was delighted to hear the song being played on the radio tonight as well.
I think that the Mayo one is actually what informed Chapel Roan first, and now it's actually come back full circle to Meath. We are Meath on Facebook.
Up the Royal.
Up the Royal. The Women's Euros, Cameron.
Yes, host Switzerland's play Finland and Norway take on Iceland tonight in tonight's action. That they're in the final round of matches in Group A. Both of those kick off at 8 o'clock. And Olivia Smith is reportedly set to become the first £1 million transfer in women's football history. The Canada forward is leaving Liverpool for fellow women's Super League side Arsenal for reportedly a world record fee.
Now, when we were dual screening earlier on, it was very much Irina Sabalenka, who was on the second screen, as it looked like she was on the verge of getting knocked out, which she subsequently did. You're moving on to Wimbledon.
Yes, indeed. Iga Świątek storming into her first Wimbledon final this afternoon. The 5-time Grand Slam champion eased to a straight sets victory over Swiss player Belinda Bencic in quick time, wrapping it up 6-2, 6-love, while Amanda Anisimova stunned top seed Irina Sabalenka in today's other semi-final. The 13th seed broke the world number one 3 times in the deciding set to earn her place in a first ever Grand Slam final. Speaking afterwards, Sabalenka admits that having to wait another year for a first ever title at Wimbledon really hurts.
Losing sucks, you know. You always feel like you want to die, you don't want to exist anymore, and this is the end of your life. But then you sit there a little bit and you you think about what you could have done differently on the match, and you I mean, you see stuff where you wasn't at your best in the match, and you see that the other player performed much better, and you kind of like can see things better. But the first moment always the worst one, because every time you compete at the tournament and you get to this last stages, you think that you're getting close to your dream, and then you lose the match and you feel like, okay, this is the end.
Slightly more magnanimous than Roland Garros. Press conference.
She started her press conference today saying, if you're expecting a Roland Garros style, you can leave now.
Yeah. It was an interesting semi, that one, because I think at all points during it, right up until the end, you kind of figure that in the arm wrestle that is a women's semi final, that Sabalenka will actually just get the better of it and that her game will see her through. She's wobbled. Like, there was that game against Laura Siegemann a couple of days ago where she needed three sets to get through it. I was talking to Cameron before we came on air. Like, three of her matches in a row before that had all been 7-6, 6-4, or a variant of that. So it's not as if that she was winning matches by large margins up until the Siegemann match anyway. Whereas Anisimova was like kind of battle hardened, having come through a couple of three setters before today. And it's just interesting because, like, you went through the record books. She's the first American non-Williams in a Wimbledon final in 20 years. Last one was Lindsay Davenport. Like, it's a big moment for US tennis. They were talking to Martina Navratilova afterwards about it. I don't think Anisimova necessarily has the profile or the kind of outward-looking nature of a Coco Gauff, but for American tennis, which had been, you know, struggling outside of the Williams sisters for so long, to have, you know, a new deck of women's players coming through and performing at the top level, they want it to be consistent. They don't want another series of Sophia Kennans, for instance. But if they are able to get that consistency going, then they're in a very, very good place. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting final.
She has an amazing story.
Yeah.
Anisimova, a real tragic story where her father passed away in the build up to the 2019 US Open very suddenly. And then everything kind of built up where, come 2 years ago, she decided to take a break from tennis for mental health reasons. I believe that it wasn't really until recently that she kind of revealed why she was stepping away from tennis. So this is a hell of a comeback.
And even seeing her post-match interview, like, she seems like she's not like a sports star. She seems like a very relatable, normal person who's able to do these extraordinary things. Like, she's 13 seed. She's no mug here. She's performed really well up until this. And to get to a final for her is massive. Świątek, though, given the form that she's in, I know Bencic was troubled by a toe injury, I think it was, today, going into that semi-final, so wasn't really able to reach Świątek's level, but she's looked really impressive. I watched her first round match. I've dipped in and out of her stuff since then. She's going to take some beating on Saturday.
Yeah, it's not exactly her number one surface either, but comes with way more.
But once it's one of those things where, and Nadal found it in the men's, Carlos Alcaraz has found it as well. As soon as you do find your way on grass, you are actually able to get traction and go win titles on it. And I think Świątek could finally do it on Saturday.
That's it. It feels very like Kevin Anderson against Djokovic, right? Feels like someone coming
really
along.
We Anderson the other day. And poor devil. Blasting his way to a final. All 6 foot 18 of them from South Africa. Serve after serve after serve. We're like, oh, maybe this could be it. No.
What slam was that at?
2016.
That was at Wimbledon.
Yeah, 2016 Wimbledon. But he was around there, but you definitely feel like it's going to be so hard to deliver again after, like, a three-setter against Sabalenka will take it out of anybody.
And this is, like, her matches up until then, I think it was Markova was who she had before that. It's not as if she has been, I think, arguably her toughest match or her toughest opponent on paper, that is Anisimova, before the semi-final today, was actually in the first round against Yulia Putintseva, and she put her aside without, like, I think it was like 6-1, 6-love, something really stupidly easy like that. And yeah, has kind of ambled her way through now until the semi-finals, is now a big name after beating Sabalenka, and has to kind of match that performance again.
Yeah, it should be absolutely fantastic. And then tomorrow, the men's semi-finals, Fritz Alcaraz and Sinner Djokovic should be brilliant as well. We do have two bouts of rugby team news.
Yeah, uncapped Connacht centre Hugh Gavin will start for Ireland in Saturday's test against Portugal on the foot of Jamie Osborne's call-up to the British and Irish Lions. Calvin Nash comes in to the replacements at 23, while Jack Crowley will start at out half for Ireland's second summer tour match against Los Lobos in Lisbon on Saturday. Alex Kendallon will make his first appearance for Ireland in the back row, while Tom Ahern, Cian Prendergast and Shane Bolton also come in to start. Ireland's Tadhg Byrne, meanwhile, will captain the Lions for their final warm-up game before the test series with Australia. He'll skipper the tourists against an Australian and New Zealand invitational side in Adelaide on Saturday. Byrne partners James Ryan in an all-Irish second row. Hugo Keenan's at fullback with Mac Hansen on the wing.
Before you play the clip, what's the Portuguese nickname that you used?
Os Lobos.
What does that mean?
As in La Bamba.
Is it the Wolves? I'm not 100% sure. I just remember reading it. It's I went over.
So they're taking on Os Lobos at the weekend. Sorry to interrupt, but you're back to the Lions.
It's fine. I'm absolutely fine with that. It's a last chance for all of those players playing on Saturday to impress the coaching team ahead of that first test against the Wallabies on Saturday week. But Byrne isn't getting too worked up about thinking where he is in the pecking order.
It's part of these types of tours. I'm lucky enough to be able to play more than one position, and I'm very happy to play either one. If I'm on the field, that's the main thing. It's six is probably something I haven't played that much over the last couple of years, and you kind of just have to do your best to get up to speed as you can. And it's only natural for me to feel a bit more comfortable in the role, because it's where I've played all my rugby with Munster, and I suppose it was back in November before I was playing six, but started to get grips with it again. But looking forward to be back in the role again.
Oslo Bus is Wolves. Cameron knows his Portuguese.
Yeah, never in doubt.
Fair play. We have big managerial news as well in Gaelic Games.
Yeah, Wicklow confirming today that Uschi McConville is staying on as their football manager for two more years. The Armagh legend has been linked with a number of vacancies this summer, but he's committed to another term with the Tailteann Cup semi-finalists. McConville took over in 2022, and Wicklow GAA say they've enjoyed a marked upturn in performance and squad development since his arrival.
Yeah, that is huge for Wicklow to be able to keep hold of Oisín McConville and for him to stay on for the next year or so. So a bit of a coup. Can you call it a coup? Somebody staying on?
You think you can.
Or maybe it's just so disrespectful to Wicklow that everybody assumed that he was just going to walk away.
Well, that's the thing. I think he wouldn't have been without his suitors, and given the role that he's played and the Wicklow have played in narrowing the playing field, narrowing the gap across Leinster over the last couple of years, it's testament to how much he's been thought of, and yeah, to hang on to him, I would certainly regard as a coup.
Yeah, definitely. So Colm de Gooch Cooper coming up in around 3 or 4 minutes time, looking ahead to the weekend, and then we're going full Mead from 8 to 9 with Colm O'Rourke and Cathal O'Brick. Crappy quiz between 9 and 10 this evening. Cameron, thank you for tonight's news round. Richie, will you go for one more before we go?
Beware of Trojan horses, people.
Will you go for one more?
Go on, go on. Let you away with
it. Wally Simms Eccles.
So sorry. On behalf of all of these people outside of the main wood, I apologize.
We've torched him enough. Yeah. We'll take a quick break. Cash machine.
The news round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.